Blog Talk Radio.
The show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. It's a special Saturday edition. Actually, these aren't going to be that special because we're going to do this. We're going to have Saturday shows until the end of the year. So, you know, buckle up. What can I tell you? We've got a lot of stuff happening around here. I'm very excited today. We've got a returning guest, a very cool filmmaker. I really like our guest today, and he's got a new film out. I was so enamored of his last film that he was on the show. It was a Muay Thai boxing, kickboxing, sports movie, drama called Worth. This time he has set his sights on a horror movie. Eduardo Castrillo. I probably said that wrong, Eduardo. Castrillo.
No worries.
Well, no, it's important. There we go. I'll never forget it now. Hey, it's a horror film this time. The Pining. Wow, pretty cool.
Yeah. The Pining is out.
Pining.
And it's kind of like a paranormal, supernatural, mystery thriller type film. And,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's very, very different from my last one, Worth. This one I kind of just... went more after the fun, you know, the spooky detective noir type things instead of the emotional drama of the last movie.
I hear you. And no martial arts in this movie. Just the work ethic of them.
Yeah, no martial arts in this one. Maybe the next one, but this one I kind of took a break. So
I gotcha. But you're personally into martial arts and whatnot. You work out several times a week, right? Or is it daily? Or
correct. Every other day.
Every other day.
Yeah.
And when you're filmmaking, when you're making The Pining, I mean, does that affect that or not so much you can work around it?
It definitely affects it. I spend a lot of time, if I'm not on a film, I'll be able to go into martial arts and train more often. But then when I'm kind of on film mode, I spend a lot of time writing and editing and pretty much trying to set things up and kind of just put my focus towards that, you know? And then, try to give that pretty much all my attention.
Well, this comes really close on the heels of Worth, the release of this. Now, did you work on both of those kind of, did they overlap in making these films with your time and whatnot, or was it just one right after the other?
Well, I shot Worth in 2016, and then I shot The Pining in 2017, and when I was doing the I was having, you know, the sound and music and editing was all being done on Worth. I was shooting The Pining, and then once Worth was done, and I was sending it out to the film festivals, that's when I was working on The Pining, the post, you know. And so now that it's 2019, they're both through posts, they're both through the festival submissions. And so it's kind of like, well, let me put both out. You know, I did Worth at the beginning of the year. And now that it's coming out more fall, you know, all the, you know what I mean? The Halloween and the spooky stories.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, let's put The Pining out there and see what we can do.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I forget, you know, I'm not in the movie business. I, you know, my little small corner here of the internet. But I forget that because I see stuff, you know, and I forget that film years and film time is totally different than normal
oh,
thought,
yeah.
You know?
You gotta look at it like tortoise years. Like,
oh, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
and it is so true. I'll have guests, a film will be released, and I'll have guests on the show, actors or different people involved in the film or whatnot. And those guys might have been done 2 years ago with that project and have 2 years worth of work that's fresh in their mind and they're excited about, you know what I mean? And
it happens so often.
Oh, it absolutely does. It's crazy. Hey, Eduardo, we have a caller. Do you want to take a call?
Okay. Sure.
Well, I don't know who it is, but we'll find out. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Are you there? Nope, they're shy. That's
okay.
Okay,
no worries.
Nothing wrong with that.
Probably my mom.
That happens. Yeah, just, reminding you to bring home milk. No, I'm kidding.
Right.
Now, this is a supernatural a paranormal whodunit. It's got a kind of the tradition of The Exorcist and End of Days. You've got a detective, a priest, a photographer, and it says here, unexplainable evil. I like that. That's good on a business card.
Right.
Are you a big fan of the paranormal? Do you watch all those ghost shows? And I don't know if they have that many anymore, but they used to have a bunch of them.
You know, I don't watch the shows. I don't watch, like, you know what I mean, like the Ghost Hunters or things like that. I guess I'm more into the films, you know what I mean? I like watching old.
I gotcha.
This year I watched, was it this year? No, it was last year I watched all the Exorcist movies, like all of them, not just the first one. Like I watched 1, 2, 3, the prequel, and then the remade prequel. Like
wow.
I was a big fan of number 3, honestly. But I like watching like the old movies and kind of seeing, you know, everything that they've done before and trying to catch up, and especially, you know, all the new stuff out too. Like, you know, there's so many filmmakers out, and, you know, a lot of new horror filmmakers that are putting out their stuff, and I just like to watch and kind of like, yeah, enjoy it, you know?
Absolutely. I like a good horror movie. I'm not really a horror movie person. Like, I have friends that are just like, they eat, breathe, and sleep it. I like a good horror movie, you know, once in a while. It doesn't even have to be a good movie. Sometimes I like a bad horror movie.
They're
fun.
Very open. It's a very open genre, you know. People, like, if it has a good cover, they'll give it a shot. Like, hey, you know, let me check this out. And then, you know, you watch
Absolutely.
It. It's not good at all. But, people are very forgiving over something like that versus, like, you know, a drama or, like, an action film or something, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wanted to cry in this movie. No, I'm kidding. it's so true. And it's, it's fun, and you're right, in the season, the fall's upon us. And you're in Northern California, right? Or are you Central California? I can't remember.
I am in Northern California. I live in the Silicon Valley, the Bay Area.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a little bit of season up there, but not, I mean, it isn't like Maine or something. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. Because you're in Florida, right?
Oh, yeah. We have no fall
here.
It's
a little bit of the same. Like, you know, if it gets cold here, it's about 55 degrees. Like, yeah.
Right. All the girls freak out, you know. That's what happens here, man. If it drops below 60 here, like my girl, you know, everybody doesn't know what to do. They're like, you know.
Right. It's like, oh, 60 degrees? Football. Oh, pumpkin spice weather. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's crazy. But this time of year, though, it is very exciting. I saw her perk up. Well, she's a little different than normal people, I think, but she's into all this costuming and cosplay and all this. We were driving in the car the other day, though, and she saw one of those Spirit Halloween stores out of the corner of her eye, and it caught her smiling, and I could see the gears. I'm like, oh, God, we got to go, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have like 10 years of like props and costumes and things from short films and films and everything like that. I don't think I ever have to buy a Halloween costume. I'll just pick something out of a bin. Like, well, this is from like, you know, freshman year of film school. All right, I'll wear that. Like,
Now, do you decorate your house this time of year and all that? Do you get all festive?
We never did. But last year was the first year that we did because, you know, it's kind of changing. Like, you don't see, I mean, at least not here, you know, or maybe it's in middle America where people, like, are big on holidays and celebrating and decorating
right.
with Christmas and Thanksgiving and Halloween or, like, you know, big barbecues for 4th of July. Like, it doesn't really happen here in the Bay Area anymore. And it's kind of like, you know, I feel like I'm missing a part of, you know what I mean? Like, just missing a part
Absolutely.
Of, like, a tradition. And so last year, that's when I started to do kind of that stuff. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go out and buy a bunch of Halloween decorations, you know. And we were the only house in the neighborhood that did. There was, like, one a block over. But I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to do what makes me happy. And then, yeah, I'll be doing it again this year in maybe about a week or two or something, you know.
I was just thinking before we came on the air, every holiday when we bought our house here, nobody else on our block, we're the weirdo artists on the block. So we were expected to do something, you know? And what I did is I said, well, instead of spending a bunch of money, I've got a big piece of wood here. I'll just paint, like, for Thanksgiving, I have a mid-century turkey that I painted on a big piece of wood. And we put that up every holiday. Last year,
nice.
I painted a giant Krampus and put that out for Christmas. And my neighbors were all, you know, because a lot of them are older, and they're like, what is that, the Grinch? I'm like, no. Yeah, let me send you a link about the Krampus.
Right? That's funny.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
a joke that you reminded me of I did last year where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you put out your Halloween decorations and then Thanksgiving comes around, you put those out, then Christmas comes around, you put those out, then Valentine's comes out and you put again the Halloween decorations. Like,
Exactly. Oh, man, that's funny. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Elvay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. michelebion.com. MichelleAbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
So the pining. Now, this is cool. Now did you, how did you come across the script, the story? How did this all come about?
You know, the first idea that I had was just the story between the model and the photographer, right? And I just, you know, I kind of had that in my mind for a while as a vehicle for an actor friend of mine to do. You know, I had him as the photographer, and then I had someone in mind on the model. And then I was kind of like, well, there's a story between them, but I didn't really just want to focus on that. I kind of wanted to have fun, you know, me and then my cinematographer, Ben Dennis. He had bought like a brand new camera, like, you know, like a 4K, you know, big old camera.
Wow.
And he was like, and we just really wanted to have fun. So that's when all the, you know, other stuff kind of came in with, like, you know, zombies and like, you know, ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, like, let's get the police station and kind of shoot like in a Law and Order type vibe. And like, you know, we just wanted to do everything our imagine and our budget could possibly allow us to do with this, you know.
That's so awesome.
Kind of built a story.
Having fun.
That. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're not having fun, there's no point in doing this, you know. I mean, you got to have fun with your art. You got to have fun while being creative.
Absolutely.
And we had a lot of fun. It was, you know, it was a small crew. There was maybe like 5 or 6 of us at a time. And, you know, I was taking ideas, you know, from the cinematographer, from the actors, from my sound engineer, like everything, you know. It's just like, oh, yeah, that'll help the story a lot. Let's just do that. And, you know, just having a great old time.
That's awesome. That is so cool. Now, it's pretty fantastic cast on this film as well. Did you was that people you knew already, or did you go to a casting company, or, you know, how did that happen?
It was kind of half and half. So,
okay.
So originally, you know, the model and the photographer, they were like the first parts written, and they were written for actor friends of mine. And those were like the roles that I did not end up using friends of mine. I ended up using new actors that I had just kind of casted just based on like the reel, you know. It was Diego Hausen and Natalie Gibson. First time working with them, and they kind of just fell right in the groove, man. It was so much fun having them on set, and they got along with all my other old school actors who I worked with before, like Jackie Dallas and Jonez Kane and Tom Sizemore and Miguel. And it was like those I've worked with before. And, you know, when I got these roles and I told them about it, they were all down. And yeah, it was just kind of like having the gang back together and just hanging out for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That is very cool. Now, I know that there's a million, and I've learned this, not from experience or anything, just from talking to people that make movies like you. There's always a million things that, you know, hiccups in the road and stuff when making independent film, any film, really. Was there a lot with this, or did it go pretty smoothly? Filming?
You know, it's, the hiccups didn't happen on set. The hiccups happened, I would say, definitely off. Like, you know, when we were on set, we were able to shoot scenes and get things done, you know, move on and everything like that. And I would go, and I was in a travel job this year, so I would be, like, in Idaho, like, editing the film, or, like, you know, in Boston editing the film. And yeah, and so, you know, I would put it together, and I was kind of like, oh, you know, I'm kind of missing, you know, like, something here, you know, we need something there and everything like that. And a lot of the actors, you know, that were here in the Silicon Valley, they all moved to LA during that time. And so it's kind of like, all right, well, how do I get around that? And one of the actors kind of stepped in and took we wrote him a lot, actually. His he played the character of Officer Jenkins. He's an actor named Ken Thrift, and he was originally in the film. He was in the film for like a scene, maybe 2 scenes, and when we did the reshoots, we gave him a lot, like, more, you know, interviews and kind of fleshing these things out here and there. And, you know, by that time, we also brought, like, you know, like 4 or 5 new lenses, so we got to play even more. And it was just, we just got to do, like, these Law and Order CSI type scenes with him, and it was just such a great, great time, man. We had so much fun with those.
That's awesome. That is so cool. Now, also, I want to let people know we have a link, a direct link to the Pining is on Amazon Prime. And, you know, everybody, yeah, you're buying stuff on Amazon anyway, so check out their video. It's, you know, you might as well.
Can you fight Amazon monster.
it's very true. It is very, right. very true. They are in our neighborhood, on our street, so much, dropping stuff off for not just us, but our neighbors, everybody. Our dog used to go crazy whenever she, you know, she'd see the UPS truck or anything. Now she sees the Amazon van, she just, like, looks up. She's like, whatever.
Right.
You know, are they bringing something for me?
Right.
She doesn't even bark. But one of the cool things, I like the platform of Amazon. You know, I'm really impressed. Amazon's video, Prime Video, has really stepped up. They've got a ton of stand-up stuff on there now, and just so many cool movies. Now, you, Worth, was also on Amazon Prime, if memory serves, and I'm almost pretty sure it was. You like working with Amazon Prime, right, as a streaming vehicle for your film?
Yeah, well, so Worth and The Pining, I self-distributed. So my first three films, I went through a distributor. But this time around, I wanted to try self-distribution, which, you know, you can upload the platforms to yourself. So Worth was – we got a few of them. We got Worth on, like, Amazon and iTunes and Tubi and Vudu and everything like that. And The Pining, we're going to start off this month, you know, in September. It's on Amazon Prime, and then we'll hold it on there for a few months, like a – 3 months exclusive or something like that, and then we're going to flesh it out onto, like, Vudu and Tubi and, like, you know, other platforms as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the streaming market's huge, you know what I mean? It's how everybody watches movies now. And it's, you know, I think it's great for filmmaking. I guess it's a double-edged sword because there's a lot of content. But that's cool that you can self-distribute. How about that, man? That wasn't always the case where you can make a film or, you know, and you'd almost have to. I don't know how that business works. I am, in my world, in the art world, the more people that get involved in a project, the lower your piece of the pie is, money-wise.
Exactly.
That's
just
how
it is exactly
works.
That. So, you know, I mean...
It
is exactly that. So being able to self-distribute these films, it allows me to have access to data, number one. I get to see my views and, you know, record all, like, you know, all those things, which is great because, you know, I can take that and, you know, show it to, like, sponsors or product placement companies and things like that, to where it's like, look, you know, Worth did $500,000, you know, already. So it's like, that's great. And, you know, it's like, okay, so let's try to use that to make another movie. And so The Pining, you know, will probably be the same thing. And then we shot another film this year, but we did that with a distributor. It was kind of like a partnership. So it was kind of like, all right, so I'm able to focus on these two films because those self-distributing that takes a lot of energy and resources. But then this other film, the distribution company's helping me out and everything, and I don't have to worry so much about it. And so, yeah, it's a good balance, you know. I like being able to do both.
That's awesome. Now, is that normal, or is it getting, or is it just depend on the deal, where a distribution company will come in, like, before you shoot it, you know, and checks are written and stuff like that, or is it usually afterwards? Like, you film it, then you're like, okay, we got to shop this to the distribution people and see what happens.
Well, luckily, I already have, like, a relationship with this distributor because they've already put out my first two projects. And so
that's
so
where
that
track kind of record.
Like, yeah. So those, you know, of course, I did the movie and then I was shopping it around. And so it's kind of like the fact that I brought a multiple and then, you know, was – you know, really good standing, you know, great people. And it's like, okay, you know, I would like to work with them again. And, you know, and they did ask me about my self-distributed films, but, you know, you saw Worth. It was a very personal and emotional film. I'm like, well, let me, you know what I mean? Let me do this for me And then, you know, I don't mind doing another film. And so, you know, that's kind of where that happened.
That's interesting. You know, and a lot of people don't realize this that aren't in the business. And, you know, they click on their TV and fire up whatever streaming platform they're going to be using that day and just watch a movie, you know. And they don't realize mm-hmm. there's all this business side of it to make that movie available to
right.
them. You know, it just doesn't happen.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare. Hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. L'apothecaryunique.com.
Yeah. At my film fest, I was at a party last week, and I was explaining, or a week before last, I was explaining to somebody the topic of film festivals came up, and they're like, "Well, when these people just make a movie, they just send it to all these film festivals." I'm like, "Yeah, but you're forgetting one important part that goes with it, and that's a check. It isn't free just to send these out." You know?
No. Yeah. It's like $50. Like, it's expensive. And you
minimum.
Do what? You do
yeah.
10 film festivals? That's, you know, just you can send it to 10 and hope one takes you. You've spent $500
right.
already. And, you know, and you're lucky if you get one that says yes and you get to screen it there.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. And then I imagine in my world, in my mind, whenever I'm spending money, I always think, or if I have to like come up with some money to do something, I convert it to paintings. I'm like, okay, that's 4 paintings. and I can buy that. I imagine you're doing the same. Okay, I've spent this much money. That's three scenes I could have shot. Extra or something. You know what I mean? Do you do that?
Just about. I mean, it really kind of just depends on, like, you know, how much, you know, everything. I mean, I think it's more, for me, it's more of like, because I'm in California, it's tanks of gas. Like, I'm like, you know, oh, yeah, I can go out to this. But I'm like, that's a whole week's worth of gas. Like,
right. Absolutely.
You know, it's
a lot of driving.
It's $4.20 right now. Like.
Oh, man. I remember, I was living in San Diego, and this is 15 years ago. But when the gas prices really started jumping high, and I was getting gas, and this guy, you know, and God bless him, you know, I hope things worked out for him. But, you know, he was down and out and whatnot, and he came up. He's like, hey, man, can you get me a gallon of gas? And I remember thinking to myself, and at the time, a gallon of gas was like $5.60 or something. You know, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, that's a lot asking for, you know, for a homeless guy. $5. Jeez.
Right.
But I'll,
like, oh,
I'll
wow.
buy you an eighth of a gallon of gas. How about that? I can afford
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. And it's crazy, too. Like, you know, because a lot of places where I go to now, like my job, everything like that, they have like all the electric car spots and everything like that, and it's all closer. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, if I had one, like if I could get one, I would have one. It's not like, you know, they're selling them at, like, you know, Costco. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
People don't realize that, too. A Tesla, man. A Tesla, like the base model Tesla is what, like $85,000 or something? That's
yeah.
a lot of money, man. That is
mm-hmm.
a lot of money.
And then I live in Fremont, California, and that's where the Tesla plant is. So I see them a lot. Like, they're all over. A few friend of mine's work at that factory too, building those. So, yeah.
Mm. Great.
Hopefully they take
yeah.
off. You know.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Oh man, I'm surprised they haven't started building buses, like city buses. But I imagine that.
Yeah, well,
crazy.
I heard they have a new truck coming out, so that'll be fun.
No, there you go.
I'd probably get
there
that.
You go.
Yeah. Trucks, they're important, you know, hauling around film equipment and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, with The Pining, paranormal, a lot of effects in this film, or is it more implied Hitchcock style?
You know, there's a little bit of effects. There's a couple of scenes that we did some effects on. And then, yeah, the other half, makeup effects as well. My sister did a lot of makeups. And then I also had makeups. My sister did a lot of makeups. And then I had a makeup artist come one day when she wasn't available. And then yeah, a lot of Hitchcock-type camera trickery and things like that. And you know, performances too, you know, I had to have some people play their characters a certain way and then kind of change that in other ways. And yeah, it was pretty fun to kind of mess with all of those worlds, and hopefully I can do that.
That's
again,
awesome.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now I have to ask Eduardo, I always do. Is there any upcoming, I know we're talking about The Pining, and we've got a link, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, to the Amazon Prime page where you can watch this. Any new projects on the horizon that you can talk about? I know sometimes you can't talk about stuff until T's are crossed and I's dotted and whatnot, but I have to ask.
Well, no, so we shot a horror film this year.
It's a horror film.
Yeah, so this one's more of like a straight slasher type horror film.
I gotcha.
Like because we didn't really get to do that on the last one, so it's like, all right, let's run around this building and, you know, screaming and everything
right.
like that. Let's do it. And so yeah, we shot that, and then we shot it, and I wrote another one, and so hopefully we get to shoot that one coming up October, November. Yeah, we're just going to bust
nice.
That one out too. And then next year, this one's kind of the one that's like on deck, the one that I hope happens. Like, you know, that's the one where I'm going to take
mm-hmm.
all my data from Worth and Pining and start talking to investors and everything like that. I wrote a baseball film And so I really I've been really getting into baseball this last year and the year before, and I just I had this idea and I wrote it, and I'm kind of like talking, you know, to some people about it, and I'm just kind of like I really want to do it, and then and just kind of shoot it next spring. Summer will probably be too hot, but spring. And you know, I did Worth, and then The Pining I wasn't in, and then these two horror films I'm not in, but I want to be able to take on a character for this new one, the baseball one, and so we'll see
nice.
If that happens as well. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic, man. Very, very cool. Well, I'm telling you, Worth was one of my favorite films this year. I really dug it. I like your take on sports, you know, and I just... the ending on Worth. I don't want to give anything away. I dug that. It was unexpected, and I, you know, one of the ones I couldn't get out of my mind for a few days. You know what I mean? And I think that's good art.
I appreciate it like fully, like because you know it's such a personal film. I really appreciate your words, and you know you like it, enjoying it, and I really believe you'll like the baseball one. I mean, just the stuff that.
Wow.
I mean, a lot of it I can't even write out. I had to, like, draw it out because it's so,
nice.
You know, I mean, I'm just like, oh, man, I can't wait to show this one to people. I can't wait to be on set for this. It's going to be beautiful. Like, and we've learned so much since Worth. Like, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, very excited
to
play in that world.
I want people to see, I want them to check out Worth. If you haven't, I'll post another link on my social media to that as well after we're done the show here. But definitely check out The Pining. This is a great film to catapult you into the spooky season, man. The spooky season. I was watching the trailer and everything on this, and I was thinking about there's a great quote by Edgar Allan Poe. I think it was Edgar Allan Poe. I could be wrong. And I'm probably paraphrasing. I'm probably butchering it, but I don't it was along the lines of somebody had asked him if he believed in ghosts, and he's like, I don't, but I've been terrified of them my entire life. And I always thought that was a cool quote.
Very nice.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like you said, it's man, we're getting to that time of year, so a good spooky movie, nothing wrong with that. And, you know, guys or gals listening, always fun to watch a spooky movie with your sweetheart. So there you go. Or your friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did every weekend when I was a kid. You know, when I was in high school and stuff. Man, spooky movie every
weekend.
I
started a movie night this week. I'm going to try to get those going maybe once a week or something like that. Movie nights are always fun.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way
to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring, it's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. TheC-Ring.com. Absolutely. I was just in our backyard, and I've been talking about building this theater and stuff, and I was going to build this big, like, 20-foot screen thing, you know, that came down, and I've got, like, a little 10-foot screen, and I'm like, and I just looked up, and in between, like, on one of the walls of our house, between these two windows, I'm like, man, I could hang that up there, it's up out of the weather, and I could just pull it down and project there when I need to, you know?
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, you know, we had that hurricane warning thing down here, and so we moved all the outside stuff inside so it wouldn't, you know, blow away and whatnot, cause problems. Mm-hmm. And so I was moving all that stuff out, the last of it today, including this big bar we have, and put that back out there. And I'm like, yeah, I could put the projector right here on this bar. It'd be a great table for it. always think. And we could play the timing. There you go. How cool is that?
I'm telling you. Perfect season.
No, we don't want to do a film that on a film night. I want everybody to watch that themselves, you know, because the more
honestly,
that's
so
cool.
It is a film you want to watch with other people, though. I've kind of noticed.
Okay.
Yeah, when we had a premiere and in the theater. And it was just the energy coming from people. There's I can't spoil it, but there's a scene where one of the characters, you know, they're like, oh, talking, you know, and something mysterious happens, and he goes, I'm gonna go check it out, and everybody in the theater goes, ah, and I'm just like, you know what? This is a definitely community film. Like it was such a great energy when you hear people in the theater like, don't trust that person, like, oh no, don't go in there, what are you doing? And I'm just like, see, they get it, you know. They get
fantastic.
This is great. It was worth it just
That's awesome.
For that. Mm-hmm.
See, I like being parts of those moments, you know, when you're watching I remember we had a party, gosh, it was years ago. Man, it was a long time ago when Paranormal Activity came out. And, you know,
nice.
It was all sound footage or how they did that. And
yeah.
I remember we had a party and the whole party stopped. Everybody just stopped doing it. There was even the annoying makeout couple at that party. You know, there's always one of those. And they even stopped. Everybody was just focused on the film. And it was great, you know. Everybody had a good time. Fun stuff.
Have you seen the movie The Last Dragon?
Yeah.
The Bruce Leroy. Yeah,
my
brother and my roommate, we were watching it, and, like, you know, in the beginning, when they show Nuff, he walks into the theater. You know, it was like that theater. Everyone's like skateboarding and talking, and it was like big wild party. They're watching Bruce Lee, and, you know, everyone's doing kung fu in the aisles, and I'm like, that's what I want. Like, I want, you know, I don't want, like, a quiet, you know. I've had that.
Right.
Earth was very quiet, and everyone was, like, taken in with the emotions. Now I want people yelling and wild and going crazy in the theater, practicing kung fu, and, oh, man,
nice.
that's my next goal. Like,
I want to be at that party. That's awesome.
Right?
Very cool. Oh, man. Well, Eduardo, we're up against the time. I want to thank you so much for taking time, and I know it was a crazy schedule today, and I really appreciate you being able to take a little time to be on the show and whatnot. It's awesome. You know, I love having you on. Keep making more movies, man. You're so good at it.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Nice. And like I said, folks, it's The Pining. We have a link right to it. Definitely check that out. Maybe tonight's a good night to do that. Awesome. We this episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast. We're got to finish up here. But this will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. We're on just shy of 200 right now. That's amazing. The big one, of course, is Apple Podcasts. If you are watching or listening to the show, on Apple Podcasts, do me a favor, hit that ratings and review. It really helps us, keeps us up at the top of the page. And boy, does that come in handy when I'm talking to advertisers. I wish I could get some investors. That would be, no, I really don't want to deal with that. Advertisers are fun enough. No, I don't want any investors. Or as they call them in your business, right, Eduardo? Producers.
Ah, yes. Good old executive producers.
That's right. That's check writers. I love it. Well, very cool. Well, Eduardo, thank you so much for being on, and I will talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be posted here in about an hour.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.